Blog Talk Radio.
Hello out there in Blog Talk Radio land. Are you surviving today? Oh, I know you've survived some things today. You might as well testify by them. All of the things that you don't even want to think about how bad it was. Just one last time, just howl out and say, thank you, Jesus, that you brought me through this. Give him praise. Survive. You're a survivor. Look around you. I know you didn't think you could make it through a lot of the things that you've been through. Start at your childhood. Look at the opportunities that the enemy has had to take you out of here. But you're still here. You're still surviving. Hallelujah. And that same God that bought you then, he's still bringing you now through things over and over again. Hold on. Yeah. I believe you will. All right, this is your host, Minister Von Demas, and we're going to start with the scripture. As soon as we finish with this selection, you will hear from our scripture. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And let's have our scripture, please. One moment. I think that may be on my end. Hold on for a minute, sister. One moment. And I'll take you off mute. And so now let's go ahead and have our scripture. I do apologize.
I'm going to do 1 Corinthians, verse 10 through 13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way to escape, that you may be able to endure it. And again, that's 1 Corinthians, verse 10 through 13.
Hallelujah. Glad to have you back, Tatiana.
Yes, sir.
There is nothing that we can go through, no temptations, if we just wait on the Lord, that he won't bring us through. There is nothing that we're going to be faced with in our day that God does not know about. And sometimes it's hard for us to understand that. But the Holy Spirit will identify lies that are revealed to us, that the enemy puts in front of us. The Holy Spirit will identify those lies for you. See, we are believing and showing how we can apply the biblical truth that will set us free. We believe that there are biblical truths, and we're teaching them to you. God is revealing them to you so you can apply the biblical truths that will outweigh any lie that the enemy tells you. The truth will set you free. It really will. And I know that you've grown up hearing that. And you said, but I told the truth and I still had consequences to pay. Well, but think about if you had to stay with that lie, how much stronger the consequences would have been. So if what you paid was only a fraction of what the enemy intended for you to pay. We just don't know all the ways that God is protecting us. But even when we don't see those ways, we should always be thankful. So don't you ever rush into something. We need to wait. As long as we wait. We were speaking on last evening just about the different things that is going on in our secular culture, how the culture is so materialistic right now, how the whole culture right now is just spiritually rebellious. And we don't want to get caught up into those things. We don't want to get caught up and left out of God's plan because we're caught up in the world of what the world is doing, what seems right to the world, what is approved by the world right now. If you haven't noticed, the world will love you one day and hate you the next. They will love entertainers one day or your sports personalities. They can be the top one and the world is just loving them and they can do no wrong. And then the next day, one rumor, it only takes one rumor, you know, to grow and start to growing and building and building. And before you know it, those same people that was building you up are the same people who are adding on to that rumor, who are starting rumors, who are tearing you down, that are still laughing in your face, and now they got all kind of derogatory statements and questions they asked of you. That's the same ones that was just doing everything that you're high and mighty, bowing down to you. So why are we waiting on the world's approval? Why do we think that the quick start to do the things that they want to do? Why do we think that we can get those promotions if we only go out and get drunk with whoever it is that's necessary, that's in charge? If we only sleep our way to the top? If only we just bow down to the world's standards, it'll make a difference in our lives and we'll be able to go farther in life. This is not your home. Don't plant your bushes too close to the world. Don't plant your roses, your gardens too close to the world. It will be destroyed. It will be destroyed. This is not our home. See, I don't go to a hotel, and I don't care how fancy it may be. I don't go there and take everything, move everything out of my home and travel it with me to get there and set it up in someone else's hotel. Why? Because I know that is not my home, correct? You don't do that. That would be foolish. Is that correct? You go in there because you're on your way to somewhere else. You go into the hotel because you're waiting for your home to be finished or something is going on, but you're waiting on something. You needed rest. You're waiting until your body has recuperated to go forward. You're waiting. And we enjoy ourselves on our wait. Should you take advantage of all the amenities that is offered to you at that hotel if you have the time? Sure. Sure. 5-star hotels have a lot of amenities and enjoy them. but you're waiting on something. You still have your eye on something. You understand that this is not my home. This is not where I will be residing in a hotel. This is just a temporal thing. You may get ideas, like I do, of different hotels that you're in. You get different ideas of different things, how it's working, how it's fixed up. You may take them back and you apply that to your house, but you understand that that's not your home. It's just a waiting period. It's just a holding place. But why is it that we can't take that same mentality, the same way of thinking, and believe that the word, just like it said, that this is not our home? We are just traveling through here. And we've got to live each day just like that. We've got to understand that we need to enjoy, take advantage of all of life's amenities that God has allowed us to be alive in this day and time to enjoy. So enjoy them. Take advantage of them. But don't get so comfortable that you decide that you're going to throw in the hat, that you've got to be a part of this world. You've got to do everything that the world is now offering. You've got to accept the approval of the world in order for you to get somewhere else, to get to your next spot in this journey. Wherever you go, just continue to wait. No, let's just look at that on both hands, too. You don't have to throw salt at everyone either. You can't jump up throwing salt. Oh, there they go again. You know, get to the point that no one can even talk to you on the job. No one can even speak to you because they consider you so holier than thou that they can't even get to you. They don't even want to be. Nothing about you impresses them, in other words. You've got to move you out of the way. Believe me, this is a task that we have to work on. We have to learn to move ourselves out of the way. Our personal feelings of whatever people is doing or going on in their lives, we have to let the God in us move forward. We have to stay prayed up so God can teach us how to wait out the situations. Because it'll get antsy sometimes. God, show me, how do I wait out this situation? Let him reveal it to you, and let his spirit connect with their spirit. But whatever you do, don't you forget to wait. Don't you get too comfortable because you think, if I keep waiting here, nothing is happening, God seems not to be moving, and you decide to take it in your own hands. No doubt that one of most of our least favorite things is to wait. I don't care if it's waiting in line at the grocery store, or we arrive at a doctor's appointment on time or a little early, only to sit and sit some more in a waiting room, correct? That really teases off. Next time you go, just look at the faces of those. People are frustrated from waiting. Again, we go to the grocery store for just a few things, and we think that we're going to run here to the express aisle, and we go to Walmart, and we go over here to the express aisle, and we end up getting stuck in an endless checkout line. And just watch the faces of some of the people. They're frustrated because they are made to wait. And we've all been delayed in a drive-through lane at the bank or at a fast food place. Nobody in our culture really naturally likes to wait, it seems. It seems. Even when we take something to the Lord in prayer, we don't want to wait. When we take something to the Lord in prayer, we do not like waiting. We bring our human impatience with us. And we think we can just walk right into the court with all of our human impatience and make demands of what it is that we want God to do for us at that time. And we even give him specifics of when we want it done, how we want it done. And then we're disappointed when we see that nothing moves. God works in his time. Remember, he is the creator. So he knows how we're made. He knows every little twine about us, every little twitch about us. He knows every step that we need to be making. He knows, you know, every ache that's in our bodies. He knows every thought that goes through your mind. So why would he stop and do the things to us that would be hindrance to us, or that would even hurt us, or even may cause death to us because of our impatience? So as many things that we ask for, that we know not what we're really saying. We have to be careful for what we ask. Sometimes we ask for a spouse and we think that this is just the perfect one. And we get in that marriage and we figure out, God, how did I get into this? How did I get into this? Who is this person? That's not who I was praying for. But he said, but that's what you begged and you asked and that's what you wanted. You know? And then he'd take his hand back from you and just let you see just what it was. We often make a request to God, and then we expect an answer right then and right there. And if God doesn't spring into action immediately, I mean, many of us begin to think, well, you know, I tried praying. People say, well, you need to pray about your situation. I've already prayed. I've tried praying. But the Lord just didn't do anything when I prayed. Prayer doesn't really work for me. So a lot of times they'll just give up prayer altogether. Our most popular one that I hear, they'll come to a preacher or a teacher or evangelist, a minister, say, no, I need you to pray for me because my prayer doesn't work. Or we'll go to the priest and we'll confess everything to the priest and tell the priest, now I've confessed it. I need you to go to God and you tell God about it and you pray on my behalf. You be that mediator. Nobody wants to pray for themselves, and nobody wants to wait upon it. We get these ideas that the preacher, the teacher can actually get closer to God or get in that word to God before you. The God's going to, oh, okay, I'm sorry. No, now that Minister Vaughn has prayed it, let me get started. Let me jump into action and go ahead and make this work for you. God has the same power that he's given out to me, to you, as far as reaching him. And he's waiting to hear from you. If you had 5 kids and the other 4 just keep telling one child, everything to say to you, even good morning, mommy, good morning, dad, and that one child relays all of the messages, you would want to hear from the other 4. Isn't that right? You want to hear from all of your children. They all are part of you. Amen? We all are his children. We all need to have patience to wait and believe that his truth, his word is the truth. Believe that his word will deliver us. Believe that his word will set us free if we just continue to wait on the Lord. Because it's very tragic when we start to just jump in ahead of ourselves. Compare that attitude to King David's. You know, when David was only 16 years of age, God sent the prophet Samuel to anoint him as king, correct? And then 16 years would pass before that promise was fulfilled. 16 years would pass before that promise was fulfilled. What did David do during that time? Did he moan and groan like some of us will be doing? Was he shaking his finger at the Lord, and was he demanding his kingship now? I know I hear it from you, God. Why haven't my ministry moved up now? I know you've called me. I know you've chosen me. Why haven't I? I haven't been able to do the things that you keep showing me. I know you showed me that I'm healed. Why am I still feeling sick? Why am I still stuck here taking chemo? Why is it, God, that I'm still not getting the answer that I'm looking for? Why? That's shaking our finger at God. That's demanding an answer from God. That's demanding that he pay attention to us right here and right now. I pray to you, and I need you to answer me. You know, and I know you've heard different parents do that. They asked a question of their child, and even some coworkers, you know, just do it to friends. And they asked a question, and then they're just like, you answer me now, right? You know, if you try to think about an answer, why aren't you answering me? Don't you hear me talking to you? Now, I know we've all said that or been said that that's been said to us, right? Don't you just stand there and don't answer me. We all need to wait. We need to learn to wait. I'm not saying being disobedient to your parents, but we need to be patient even with our kids, allowing them to get the answer together. We all need to learn to wait. 16 years passed while David was waiting. And no, he did not shake his finger at God. No, he did not spend those 16 years moaning and groaning. See, if David had stepped into that position before his time, he would never have been successful. He would have never have been successful. What if David had chose to push his way and say, you know what, I know God is not moving fast enough. I'm going to make myself king. His life could have diminished. He wouldn't have been able to fulfill the purpose that God had chosen him for. Out of all of his brothers, God had chosen him to do this job. He would not have been able to do it. What about you, sister? What about you, my brother? What is it that you have decided that you can't wait any longer on? Now, I myself, I still have a problem with waiting in some situations, and it's better, much better than when it was as I was younger. But if I told you I was coming to pick you up, and all of my friends knew it, and I tell you I will be there, and when I get there, if I let you know, I blow my horn, I'm here, and you look out, okay. And then I wait out there 5 minutes. You could believe when you come to that door, I was gone. I was not going to sit there and wait any longer because you knew that I was coming. You knew that I was here. And now you expect me to sit here and continue to just wait. I would be on my way and gone. You know, and that was just the thing that I was kind of known for doing. I would leave you. We have to be more patient. We have to find a reason to wait. Because some of the times when we're rushing off from one place to another, we could be rushing off into danger. We could be rushing off into even our death. God will hold us back for many reasons. And many of those times is to answer the prayers that we've been saying. We ask God to protect us. We ask God to lead us not into temptation. So when he puts his hand up and he holds us back, then we get all agitated and we want to cross. We get agitated and we just, you know, get all puffy and we're upset. Really, God's just answering our prayers. We have to be very safe, very careful about waiting, about jumping too far ahead. Let's look at another situation. And we'll finish up with David. Look at another situation. What about Abraham and Sarah? They had been waiting for that child for so long. For so, so long. And once they found out that they was going to have a child, first of all, when it was presented to them and told to them, by the visiting angels that they were going to have a child. Sarah just laughed. She just laughed, just like, you know. It's just no way. It's too late now. They gave up on waiting. They're just like, you know, we have waited for so long. For so long. The angel said, why did you laugh? And she said, no, I didn't. You know, it's just too much to go into. You wouldn't understand. And what she was basically saying, paraphrasing for her, is just that I have waited so long. You have no idea the wait. I'm an old woman now. Abraham is an old man. He's older than I. It's too late now for us to think about those promises that God had made to us. And now you're waiting to now to come and tell us that we're going to be the parents of a baby. Come on. It's unbelievable almost. But God's word never comes back to him void, correct? Never comes back to him void. So if God spoke it in your spirit, if God told you that, you need to believe that it's still going to come. It's going to manifest in one way or another. It's still coming in. It's going to be true. It's coming true. It's knocking at your door. You got to be patient, and we must learn to just wait on it. But Abraham and Sarah, what did they do? They had decided that they was going to go ahead and just get them a Hagar. See, before that time, they had just said, you know what? Let's substitute somebody else. You know what? I'm giving you permission. Here she is. Go ahead. And then Abraham follows through. They get the Ishmael. And then Sarah's heart's all torn out because now she's got to watch her husband fall in love with Ishmael. Abraham's scared to get just too close to Ishmael because he's seeing the pain that is in Sarah's eyes. He's seeing the love that now Hagar is starting to think that she needs to pull rank on Sarah. Sarah's not going to have that. What a mess. All because they chose not to wait. All because they chose not to wait. All because they did not believe that the biblical truth was ever going to knock on their door and say, here's your freedom. What I said still stands. I'm God and I can do things in any way that I choose to do it. When I choose to do it, it's all in a purpose. It's not like he's just holding off purposely just to see how you're going to act, how you're going to react. He has a plan for you, and those plans are to prosper you in every way of your life. It's not to hold you back. It's not to make you angry, even though if he has to allow you to go through your anger just to get to his promised land, he'll hold you back. Your anger is not going to change his mind. He will still hold you back to make sure that you get the best. To make sure you get the best. How many people will go that far to do that for you? So many people will just say, you know, well, forget it then. If that's what you want, fine. You know what? But God expects patience from us. What God expects patience from us. So David understood that God was trustworthy. David understood that God was trustworthy, even as a young man. He also realized that his heavenly father was the God not only of who he was, of where he was at right then and there, but that he was the God of where he was going to be. He was the God of the past, the present, and the future. And he knew that same God had the answers for his past, the answers for his present, and his future. See, David realized that God not only was the God of those who and what, but also of when and how. So he didn't have to waste out time figuring out when is this going to happen? How is this going to happen? Ma'am, you're waiting on that husband. You're still dating through all different guys. Anybody that'll look your way because you're saying this could be him. This could be him. But we've got to remember, just like David, God is a God of not only who you're going to marry, what the circumstances is going to be around your marriage, but he's also the God of when you're going to be married and how you're going to meet him. He's the God of all of them. So you have to leave it up to God. He's a trustworthy God. All you've got to do is what? Continue to wait. So in the meantime, don't moan and groan, and every time somebody gets together or something, you know, everybody else, the couples are all together, and I'm just by myself. Don't moan and groan that it's never going to happen to me. Don't go out there and start picking up any and every little thing just because you consider it as a male. This day and time, you really don't know what looks like a male. May not be a man. Amen? Amen. But just stay in peace. Work on you. Get yourself seasoned. Get yourself ready. Work on you. David wants he wanted the kingship only when the Lord was ready for him to be king. He didn't want to step ahead of that. He wanted the kingship only when God said, it is your time. Now you're ready. So he waited. And he was very observant in his wait. Those things made him the king that he needed to be. Did he ever make mistakes? Oh, yes, he did. And we read about many of those. But David was a man after God's own heart also. We read about that also. That's because of his waiting. And unless we're careful, we spoke on last evening, we reminded everyone, and I remind you again in our closing, we must be very careful because we can fall prey to the world's traps. We must be very careful. The key to avoiding the snares of God's word is to study the word, be in the word, and then open ourselves up to hear from God. Speak to God. When we study the scriptures, the Holy Spirit again will identify the lies we are believing, and it will show us how we can apply the biblical truth that will set us free. Again, as long as we wait. As long as we wait. We have to also remember that in this world, we have to ask ourselves the question, are you immersed in the culture or are you immersed in God's word? Is it more important for you? Do you get up and forget to pray and thank God for waking you up? Do you get up and forget to pray over your family, wherever they may be? I don't care what their ages are. Do you get so busy that you forget to say, thank you, Jesus, for this food that you are presenting to me right now? Or do you just let your flesh say, oh, I'm hungry, just dive in and eat? Is there something in your life for which it's hard to remain patient? Will you wait on the Lord as one waiting on a bank teller? You don't jump out of the line and just run on up there to the bank teller and say, I refuse to wait any longer. I want you to take care of my situation right now. No, I don't care how you're feeling in that line. You may sit back there and briefly tell someone in front of or behind you or in ear distance, oh, this line is long, or some other comments you may make. However, you still remain in that line. Or you may decide that, you know, I'll come back at a better time. Either way, you learn to wait. You do not jump out of line and run up there and just cause a scene, because you know there's trouble that lies for that. It's consequences that lies with that, correct? How about in the doctor's office? Do you just jump up and just run back there and say, forget it, I'm going to see the doctor right now? No, you may go back and forth and speak to the nurse about how much longer is it going to be, or something else, other comments. But you know that it is a decision that you must make, and that decision is you need to wait. You need to wait. So whatever that situation is that's going on in your life right now that is very hard for you to remain patient with, I challenge you right now to just learn to wait on the Lord as though you're waiting in that bank teller line. Wait on the Lord as if you're waiting in that doctor's office line. And like King David, trust in God's timing and his provision. The Father knows every facet of your situation. And his delay is actually, again, in your best interest. His delay is in your best interest. I challenge you to learn to wait. We wait on so many other things in life. Learn to wait. In Jesus' name, amen. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I invite you to come and just make that important move right now tonight. Make tonight the night that you're going to start a new journey. And knowing with this journey that you're inviting God to come and live inside of you, that he's with you, that he's going to give you some answers. He's going to help you learn to wait. All you got to do is to confess. Just repeat after me. I want to lead you into that prayer. Hallelujah. This is about you and God right now. You and God. Thank you, God, for being who you are, the creator of all things. I believe that you gave your only son, Jesus Christ. I believe that Jesus died for me. I believe that the blood that he shed for me, it covered my sins. I am a sinner. I confess of I am a sinner, and I invite you to come and live inside of me. I invite you to come and make me a better me. I invite you to reveal yourself to me. Let me see myself out of your eyes. I accept you, I believe you, and I confess of my sins. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We must repent of our sins. We must repent of our sins to move forward, ladies and gentlemen. If you just pray that prayer, it's important to reach out. The enemy doesn't want to see you successful. So you need someone on your side. You need someone who's been where you're at. Reach out to someone. Let them know your decision to follow Christ. You need to be in a Bible teaching church, not something that we've just made up in our own minds and this is what I think life should be like. But you need to get into a Bible teaching church. So many churches, the preachers are over the pulpit not preaching the word of God. You could reach me and I'd be more than happy to assist you. My name is Von Dumas. I'm here in San Antonio, Texas. Wherever you're at in the world, you don't have to be in San Antonio. Let's just reach out and talk. You can send me an email at walkwithmegod@aol.com. Well, God bless you. Until the next broadcast, just remember, it's your time. It is your time. Whatever it is that you're looking for, whatever it is that you're wanting, God knows it, and he wants to be there. He's right there waiting for you. I love you. Good night.